The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time to talk to Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
Now, first of all, the good news on driving tests.
Well, good news on driving tests. They're getting on top of the waiting list. It's a very busy day for the RSA today. They're in the Oireachtas Committee, Transport Committee, talking about NCT waiting list and driving test waiting list times. They're making progress, particularly on the driving tests. They reckon that they're on track to achieve their target of a 10 to 12 week waiting list by the end of the year.
Which would be phenomenal improvement, wouldn't it?
It would be phenomenal. And look, I'm happy to take them at their word. I've had a detailed chat, in fact, with, they were kind enough to engage me a while ago and just talk me through what their plans are. Essentially, they've got on top of their recruitment issue. They're getting new testers on stream. And, you know, it looks like their operational workflow is going to take them where they're going to go. So if they do achieve that, credit to them, it's a good job done.
Okay, now tell me about the conference, the RSA conference. What are they going to be talking about?
Yeah, now this is different entirely. This is their annual road safety conference and it's taking place in Dublin today. And the theme this year is drugs and driving. And there is some fascinating data. I mean, on the top level, you could nearly say that here in Ireland, a week ago, we were praising ourselves as alcohol consumption had dropped to the European norm. It looks like drug consumption is, you know, nearly taking its place. And there's a study that was done asking people to, you know, who will admit, have they driven a car after consuming a drug within the last 30 days? 9% of Irish respondents said yes, they had. It's an alarmingly high number in the first instance, and it's also slightly higher than the European norm. Now, if you ask the same question about alcohol, which is the, you know, the first and biggest drug problem that we have. Yeah, the bold numbers are still higher for alcohol. But the trend line is very interesting. And essentially, it's alcohol abuse by drivers trending down, drug abuse by drivers definitely trending up.
Is there an awareness, do you think, that the Gardaí can do roadside drug testing?
Well, yes and no. I think to some degree people are aware, but I'm going to be very cynical for a minute. I mean, one of the people who's going to speak at the conference today is David Cliff, a very well-known, he's the head of the Global Road Safety Partnership and a former New Zealand cop. He was in charge of road safety in New Zealand for 4 years. What do they do that we don't? They test comprehensively.
They have. I mean, they do everything.
They do roadside testing in a very, very big way. So if you're a driver in New Zealand, statistically, you'll be tested for drugs at the roadside once a year. That's, you know, that's just the extent to which that they're testing all the time. Now, let's be honest here. Is there anybody listening to us who has ever been drug tested by Gardaí on a random basis? It just doesn't seem to happen.
And by the way, when they're doing random testing, and I mentioned the other day someone doing testing at 11 o'clock in the morning in Dalkey,
yeah,
what they were hoping to find, but it was simply for alcohol, not for anything else.
Well, both problems exist. They're quite similar problems in ways, but both problems exist. And actually, roadside testing for drugs, you know, remains imperfect. It's not as nuanced to science or as well calibrated as we can do for alcohol. But, you know, for both, the normal driver, you know, and you're not picturing the actual drug addict here, but the relatively normal driver, you know, who might take a risk, might not take a risk, he's a damn sight less likely to take a risk if he really believes he's going to be stopped by cops.
Now, you have some of the comments from people who admitted to drug use before getting into a car.
It's insightful, yeah. This comes from, from a professor in the University of Galway called Kiran Sarma, who's done a really, really good piece of work that, again, he's going to present this morning. Did a big literature search, which is great, but also did some really good qualitative interviews with a cohort of males between 18 and 35 who did admit to driving a car after using drugs. And the rationalizations, Pat, they take me way back to the alcohol argument of 30 years ago. They'll say things like, well, actually, it makes me calmer. I know I've consumed cannabis, but when I'm in that condition, I'm extra cautious. So I'm actually going to be safer. And the one that I really like, people saying, well, at least I don't drink and drive. That's really bad. So it's extraordinary. And you know, Dr. Sarma is a psychologist. And what's fascinating is the way the human being can rationalize behavior, because nobody wants to look at themselves in the mirror while shaving and say, I'm socially irresponsible, I'm a bad guy. So we do these rationalizations.
Now, we've tried all sorts of advertising over the years to get people to stop drinking and driving. Some of them quite graphic.
Yeah.
And they certainly have an effect the first few times you see them. In fact, some people would turn them off rather than watch them again. They were so graphic.
Yeah, very impactful.
A car tumbling over and obviously a fatality. They have a new ad. What's that going to do?
Yeah, we're all going to see it. It's launching from today. And this is their new anti-drink driving ad. I think it's very clever. We'll see what people think when it gets out in the public domain. The setting is an ordinary person, nice guy, maybe after football training or something like that. He's in the pub. He gives in to temptation. He has a pint, then he has another pint. And as the group are sitting there having the crack, talking about this, that and the other, blood stains appear from the fingers. Blood starts dripping down from the pint glasses onto the beer table, onto the crisps, and then on the footprints of the driver as he's walking to his car. So I think it's clever. It's engaging your imagination.
And the tagline, blood on your hands.
Blood on your hands. And the message is, do not let your friends drink and drive. Mm. I think it's very impactful. And the message out there, we hope, is that, you know, you're not looking at the real bad guy. Somebody who says, you know, I'm a criminal, I don't care. It's not like that. Mostly they're fairly ordinary, nice people, you know, your son, your brother, your friend, really nice people who give in to temptation, take a slight risk, then maybe realise they can get into a habit of taking a slight
risk. And you know, you talk about the kind of collegiality of people going after training or whatever. There's no excuse now. There's 0-0 of pretty much everything available in the pub.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no excuse for doing it. And look, everybody knows that. And as I say, few people want to look in the mirror and say, I'm being a bad person. So hence, the human animal can give us these rationalizations, these justifications. I'll just take the quiet road home. But I guess socially, we all have to remind each other that you just can't do that. And the reasons are good reasons.
Now, we try to protect drivers over the years. The introduction of the ordinary lap belt all those years ago. Then we got the three-pointer, the harness, really. Mm. Then we have airbags. Volvo have kind of done it again.
Yeah, it looks like Volvo have done it again. Long and honourable track record in road safety innovations. Volvo was always the safe car. They invented the three-point seatbelt in 1959, which wound up being a universal standard. And also things that you mightn't realise, like they invented the high-mounted brake light, so that there's a brake light at the top. And they've come again. They've invented essentially the smart seatbelt. And what's smart about it is it bristles with sensors, detects the weight and posture of the person sitting on the seat, and will therefore trigger instantaneously the weight and posture appropriate pre-tensioning of the seatbelt when the crash occurs. All in splits of a second. And it can do that courtesy of the modern technology.
So if you've got maybe a 5'3" or 5'4" light female in the car as a passenger, or versus, you know, a 20-stone...
The big strapping lad.
Yeah.
And the car will be smart enough to know the difference. And, you know, it gets smarter all the time. I mean, airbags are very sensitive and they know when to go off and they know when not to. There are seatbelts, or the airbags that won't go off if there's a baby seat on the seat and all that clever sort of stuff. And this, I think, is next generation. And we do know from testing that it works extremely well. And, I would suspect that if this turns out to be as successful as Volvo are saying, it will become a universal standard.
Of all good. Yeah. You know, it's just like anti-lock brakes, which were very kind of esoteric and only for the elite.
Yeah.
Now every car.
Now every car has it. And it's good that cars are becoming smart. Used to design everything around a standard man. We used to be, you know, a standard male individual. Inappropriate design for females, for all sorts. So this does seem cleverer and better.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.